Welcome back to Mid-Ohio Hockey Talk. I'm Pam Spencer along with Darren Schulman and Gage Telez, and we're going to talk CBJ, and we're also going to be talking about high school and college hockey, although right now college hockey is on a break, but we'll get to that here in a little bit. We'll bring you an update on OSU men and OSU women and where they're standing, and also the high school standings for not only OHSAA, and then also the current club league. I like to follow those guys too, because those kids work really hard. Yeah, so we'll get to that a little later in this show. But we always start out with Darren, and he is our rules guru in order for us to learn a little bit more about the game. Whether you're a longtime hockey fan or you're new to the game, you can usually learn something from the rule that he has. And he'll quiz us and see how we do. So how you doing, Darren?
I'm excellent. And in the spirit of the holidays, I'm going to go with what I think should be a gimme. So no pressure, but you guys should ace today's rule.
Okay.
In honor of the early December games that we had, I want to talk about overtime.
Okay.
We have had a lot of those,
and we've managed to get a point out of a lot of those.
I had three in a row. I went to all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that first. The first thing is, just in case people don't have the opportunity to watch overtime, how many people are on the ice in a regular overtime?
Oh, I think I know the answer to this. It is 3-on-3.
Well, it is 3-on-3, but you would including the goalies, then it would be 4-on-4, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't trying to trick you there. You're both right. It's three skaters and a goalie.
See, I thought he was trying to trick us.
No, I would never do that. I wouldn't set you up and then knock you down. So that is true. And then I think, Pam, you alluded to this. Let's get this out of the way.
Okay.
If you win overtime, how many points do you get in the standings? And what happens if you lose overtime?
You get 1 point if you win. Or I'm sorry, you get 2 points if you are the winning team in overtime. And also, the losing team would get 1 point if it goes to overtime.
That is, again, correct. You are aces. This is why I always stress how important it is to just get to overtime, because those points add up. And it's weird that a loss is worth half as much as a regular win.
Yes.
All right, now we're going to get funky here, guys.
Okay.
What happens if you have a penalty in overtime?
Oh, I actually don't know, and I would love to find out.
A penalty in overtime. That's a good question. I don't know that happens very often.
It does not, but I've seen it.
All right.
I am pretty certain that the penalty in overtime, the one team gets an extra guy to come out on the ice, so they get 4 versus 3.
Oh, so they don't deduct, they add.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
but then it gets weird. Think about this. What happens when the penalty expires?
Well, that their fourth person would have to go back and sit on the bench, right?
Wouldn't they? My understanding is that the other team stays out and the other team
brings the fourth out until the penalty is over.
Huh.
Like the guy gets to come out of the box.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So he comes out, so he comes out of the box. So now you're at 4-on-4 until you get a play stoppage. Because otherwise it'd be too awkward where he's in the box, but he's got to sit there and this guy's got to come off. So he gets to come on. And when the play stops, they go back to 3-on-3.
That makes sense. Gotcha. That makes sense. It's kind of like, when you have a delayed penalty, you pull the goalie real quick until the other team touches. And, that makes perfect sense.
So it's kind of weird. I've seen it happen once. I thought, this is the coolest thing I think I've ever seen.
Mm.
So you guys did great today. I'm going to give you a solid A, only because you just didn't know about the penalty thing. You could have gotten an A+, but I think we're all smarter for having had this conversation.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you.
Definitely.
Wow. I actually did not know that, and now I learn something new each and every week.
I'm going to put in a request for a future show. We seem to have seen in the past, I'll say 2 weeks, several games where our goalie is crashed into. And I want to know, can you look into the various rules other than the obvious ones that happen on a regular basis where, the goalie can't see, and that's goalie interference. Can you expand when you have time on what kind of penalties the opposing team would receive for crashing into the goalie, because it just happened the other night, and it's happened several times in the last couple of weeks. And I'm getting a little frustrated because there's a certain amount of mystique, if you will, that the paint is supposed to be the goalies, and these guys are charging 90 mile an hour on their ice skates trying to put in a goal, and then they crash into the goalie, and sometimes they knock the net loose and all that, and it's like, come on. Well,
you remember our favorite, I think it was last year, our favorite incident of this was when Wilson went into Elvis, and then Elvis just beat him up and got a penalty in overtime. Remember that?
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. So when you have time, that's my request.
All right, we'll do it.
Cool.
You know, and you mentioned, you know, with goalie interference, and I've also noticed that on the increase lately, and especially, and I don't want to get too far ahead, but real quick on last night's game, there was an incident where I think it was one of the other opposing team's players that literally charged right at Elvis, chipped right over him, and
pulled right into it.
No penalty.
Yeah.
No penalty. And I couldn't believe it. I know. So that's why I want to know how severe is that to consider that a goalie interference penalty?
Right.
And, you know, and I guess it depends on where you interfere.
First of all, since we're going to talk about this a little more, but again, we'll have Darren get some details as far as the rule book. But specifically the incident that you're talking about last night in the New Jersey Devils game, you can tell we recorded this show on Friday. the incident that you're referencing is frustrating because, first of all, the goalie could be hurt.
Yes.
And second of all, the reason it's that example is, and this is my humble opinion, that one wasn't goalie interference because there was no goal that made it into the net.
Oh.
If the puck had went into the net in that particular instance, and then the guy crashed into him, there could have been a goalie interference penalty, and the goal would have been withdrawn and all of that. So there is that to consider as far as if there is a puck in the net in the example. But in that example, he didn't make the goal, first of all.
Sure.
But then he crashed into the goalie, and it's becoming more common in my humble opinion. Now, I don't watch a lot of other hockey. I don't watch some of the other teams. I have friends who watch multiple teams. Mm-hmm. They may watch a lot of hockey throughout the course of a 7-day period. I only watch the Blue Jackets generally. And I try to keep tabs, like I said. I like to follow an NCAA, the OSU Buckeyes, men's and women's. And I like to give kudos to the high school kids, but I don't actually go to those games. They are a lot of fun, by the way, if you get a chance to go. But specifically, I'm seeing this a lot more often. And the NHL is really good about adjusting the rules at the end of each season. And I think the potential exists that at the end of this season, we may see a rule change on charging the goalie is basically what I'm going to call it. I don't know if it has a name or not, but I think we may see a rule change at some point.
I don't have the rule in front of me, obviously, because I just was given the assignment. Right. But my memory from a prior season is that there's a couple elements that you have to look at. One was the contact avoidable. And then I think with the goal, I think you can get an interference penalty even if there wasn't a goal, but you're right. If there's a goal, they would disallow it if you block their ability to get to it.
Right.
But that avoidable thing I think is important because I was joking about that one with Wilson. Mm-hmm. He actually got pushed into Elvis that time. So he didn't get called with a penalty because although he completely laid Elvis out, one of the Blue Jackets players had checked him into him.
I remember that.
So I think if you're doing a fast break and someone bumps into you and you slide into him, I think that that's not going to be interference because it wasn't your fault.
Right.
And I think the other thing is that the hockey used to kind of enforce this on their own because, you know, when you watch the game and the guy's kind of like poking at the goalie, all the defenders just start punching him.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be on the decline, but it used to be if you touch that goalie, you got roughed up, but I just don't think they're doing that as much.
Well, and I remember the day when it would be a bench clearing brawl if you touched the goalie.
So
I think there's probably going to have to be some type of intervention at the NHL level because these players, they're skating so fast and they're not taking into consideration that this is a no touch zone. Basically it should be because you're going to put the goalie in a situation where he could be hurt intentionally by your, I believe, negligence in being in control of your own body. And I get it, where the players that play the game, the regular players, they bounce off of each other and they, you know, accidentally board each other and all that without getting a hockey penalty. And that's hockey. Yeah. But the goalie area, that blue paint area, and where that goal net is, that should be sacred, because there's a point where it's no longer a game. You're just crashing into the guy, and that's not appropriate.
I agree. Yeah. And you know, at the end of the day, the goalie, and I don't care who you think's the best player or the worst player on the team, the goalie at the end of the day is the most valuable player in any hockey game.
Right.
I mean, agree with me or not, because the goalie is the reason why you win that game. Now, sure, there are very good players. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to give them zero credit. But at the end of the day, the goalie is the most important player.
And you have to ask yourself as a coach, if you think that's okay for your player to crash into my goalie, what if my team turns around and does it to your goalie?
Exactly.
See, that's tit for tat stuff can get really tricky.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, in a positive note, and subject of CBJ, you know, it was not a great five games. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Now, we were all surprised when we came out of Winnipeg and beat them 4-1. Like, holy cow, the best team in the NHL. Mm-hmm. But then the December 10th game, I don't know what, and Darren, I don't know if you can agree if you watched that game, but December 10th against the Flyers, what a sloppy game. I mean, I was
It was rough.
I was at Nationwide Arena, and I couldn't tell you, the vibe was just not there. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one was cheering. Nationwide was so quiet. Uh-huh. I don't think I've ever been to a game that was so quiet. And it was unexpected, because then you think, well, what about that game in Winnipeg?
Right.
You know, I mean, sure, we were on like a Canada road trip, right? So we had a lot of away games.
They were tired.
They were. I mean, right before the Winnipeg game, they lost three in a row.
Right.
But then.
Well, it's also a corollary to my theory of this season, which is you beat the team, there's no way you should win. Mm-hmm. And you lose the winnable game.
Well, and in this case, it was Tortorella's team, the Flyers. Mm-hmm. So I think that sometimes that can get into players' heads.
Maybe.
That's my two cents on that particular game, and they lost that game 5-3.
Yeah, and even in the post-game press conference, Zach Werenski, and in quote, he said, we were tired. We just were not on our A game. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, me as a fan, why? Why were you tired? I mean, sure, you had Canada road trip, but then you had a day off, and then you're back at it again. So you just don't know.
And that actually goes back to what I was saying not too long ago about I believe that the team, and this is just, again, it's just our observations. We're just fans. We're just yakking here.
Right, right.
But I believe that the team needs more in the way of training, not just training camp, but they need day-to-day training, and they need more protein in their diet. Watching Elvis talk to Jody Shelley at the end of that New Jersey Devils game where they won, but it was nonstop for Elvis as the goalie, and he was out of breath, and he was on his last leg, if you will.
Yeah.
And he admitted it in the post game with Jody Shelley and in the post game for the rest of the media, and it bears questioning. And I compare it to the OSU Buckeyes, because we all live here in Central Ohio and we know what the OSU Buckeyes training is all about. We can see it. Those kids, they're young adults. Okay, those young men play 60 minutes of football. Well, these guys are playing 60 minutes of hockey, and they should be in the same shape as the OSU football players, in my humble opinion. And it's only because we can make that comparison here. Mm-hmm. We can see it. It's plain as day that some of these players need more protein in their diet. They need more rest. They need more training as far as, you know, lifting weights and all. That's my 10 cents. So.
Well, and I totally.
From 2 cents to 10 cents.
Well, I totally understand that. And, you know, in that particular New Jersey game, and, you know, not to get too far ahead again, but, you know, New Jersey was down 0-3. I mean, Elvis was on the verge of a second shutout this season.
Yes, he was.
And with almost like about a minute 25 in the game, New Jersey.
I got nervous, dude.
I know, because then New Jersey scored two unanswered goals with under a minute left in the game. So all of a sudden it went from 0-3 to, oh my gosh, they're only down by one. And what was interesting about this is New Jersey again, anytime you pull your goalie, huge risk. But they decided to do it with 6 minutes left in the third period. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. That's huge.
I've seen it before this season. I have already seen it at least one other time. Yes.
I honestly was on the verge of, I'm kind of surprised, but I'm also not mm-hmm. surprised, because you're down by three goals. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work in 6 minutes of hockey. But my goodness, did they come back. And now, listen, here's the thing. New Jersey did an excellent job staying in our zone with the empty net goal. We've only had maybe like two or three opportunities where we actually flinged it across the ice, mm-hmm. right? But 90% of the time, they were in our zone all over the place, mm-hmm. which hence why you mentioned Elvis was out of breath, my goodness, it was nonstop. And then luckily, Sean Monahan got us an empty net goal there to kind of finally seal the deal. But and to circle back on December 12th, if we go back in order, the Capitals were back in town. A very, very, very good team. And of course, after that.
Oh, that game. Oh, I was there.
Me too. My goodness, that Flyers game, we didn't want to go back and look at that, but the motivation was there. But we still had a problem. And Darren, you've probably noticed this too. Maintaining possession of the puck that I've noticed ever since that Flyers game, the CBJ has had a tough time keeping on offense. Like, half the time we're trying to get the puck back, and when we get it back, we only have it for like a couple of seconds, right, Darren?
We don't have a lot of sometimes I like how we get possession in the zone more than we used to without the dump and chase. We've talked about that. Mm-hmm. But we don't get a lot of second chance shots or rebounds, and I don't know if that's where the way we're positioned or something about our shots or something, but so we don't have a lot of long possessions where we get it. And then there are a lot of them where we try to pass it to someone and it kind of goes by them, and we still have possession, but we have to clear the zone because you would be offside. So that happens way too much, and it just kills your whole offense. So I think I agree with you, Gage. I've noticed that, you know, they'll pass it to someone and he'll miss it, and then he skates back and still gets it, but mm-hmm. we're not in the zone anymore.
Right.
And that's hard to set up again.
Yeah. So I just want to footnote that the Caps game you're talking about, that was an overtime loss,
yes,
but we got 1 point. And then the next game, the Ducks, was an overtime loss. So again, we get 1 point because we took it to overtime. So
and Jet Greaves was good, and Jet Greaves uh-huh. was the one in goalie for the Washington game, and he was dominating the whole game. And it was just like mm-hmm. New Jersey, where he almost had the shutout win, and I think they pulled their goalie and scored at the very end, and then won in overtime, and it was kind of a letdown. But we were like, I was thinking Pam's going to be a Jet Greaves fan and hate on Elvis. Mm-hmm. Now it turns out Elvis got you back.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking.
I texted both of you during the New Jersey game. I said, who is this, Elvis, and where has he been my whole life? Where have you been, baby? Because I want this guy in net on a regular basis.
Darren, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that was my next point. And going into that Capitals game after that just terrible game against the Flyers, we're like, why are we throwing Jet Greaves in there mm-hmm. with the Washington Capitals, okay?
Been doing very well with the Monsters.
Exactly. And this, again, people forget, and I saw this on social media, and I want people to understand, the Cleveland Monsters is the Blue Jackets farm team. Mm-hmm. So if you're questioning why we have some players in certain positions, mm-hmm. I strongly suggest you watch the Cleveland Monsters games, because that right there is the reason why Jet Greaves deserved that night. And Dean made a fantastic choice, because Jet Greaves absolutely earned mm-hmm. it. And then guess what? He earned it yet again for the Anaheim Ducks. Now, of course, majority of the game stayed out of the net. But, mm-hmm. you know, you can only do so much with the possession issue that the Jackets had. And I don't blame Jet for these losses at all. Mm-hmm. I really don't. It's just that offense possession during the Anaheim Ducks game. But then against the Hurricanes, we still kind of had that same issue, but, you know, we still lost mm-hmm. that one, but
they're good. Carolina is a good team. The Ducks, we should have beaten the Ducks. I'm okay with a 1 point on Washington, and I guess if you're going to average 1 point per game, that's cool, but Ducks is another one of those teams we need to beat if we think we're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let's take a break for just a second, guys, because I want to cover the other topics, and then we'll come back and finish up with the Canes game and also the Lightning. And we've already covered quite a bit of the Devils game. But number 14, OSU men, they are 13-4-1 on the season, and their next game is January 3rd. They play Michigan at Wrigley Field.
Oh,
Yeah, check that
What's
out.
With the baseball film
That's
getting all
a
these games?
5 p.m. game on BTN, just so you know.
Wow.
And then number two, OSU women still holding that number two slot. They're going to take on number one Wisconsin. Their next game Ooh. Is January 2nd, and they are 13-4-2 on the season. Now, looking at high school hockey standings, the Capital Hockey Conference is capitalhockeyconference.com. The Red Division, number one, my alma mater, New Albany, followed by St. Charles, Upper Arlington, Olentangy Liberty, Olentangy Braves, Cincinnati Moeller, and Olentangy Berlin. The White Division, number one, is Dublin Jerome, Kaufman, Olentangy Orange, and St. Xavier. And then the Blue Division, that's Worthington Kilbourne, Gahanna Lincoln, Bishop Watterson, and Thomas Worthington. So that is your current OHSAA teams that are playing one another. Again, you can follow them at capitalhockeyconference.com. And I don't want to forget the kids that play club, because that's a lot of work too. The current standings for the Greater Columbus High School Club Hockey League, you can see that information at gchschl.net. Varsity Gold, that currently belongs to Dayton Gold, and then followed by the Hilliard Wildcats, Miami Redhawks, and the Newark Generals. The Varsity Silver, Dayton Silver, Westerville Warhawks, Northeast Storm, PHA Prowlers, and Athens Bobcats. And the Junior Varsity Division for the club, that's Dayton Stealth, Newark Generals, Hilliard Wildcats, Irish Eagles, Miami Redhawks, Westerville Warcats, Northeast Storm, PHA Prowlers, Columbus Ice Hockey, and Dublin Irish, rounding out all of the junior varsity teams that are playing at the club level right now. And of course, they're all on break because high schools are on break at this time, but they will be back at it in January. And again, that club hockey email, or I'm sorry, website is gchschl.net if you want to follow the club kids, and if you want to follow OHSAA, capitalhockeyconference.com.
How about them Buckeyes? That is mm-hmm. a great, like, that's another thing I want to encourage hockey fans.
Yes.
Like, sure, the NHL is great, but you got to watch these NCAA games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic.
And the prices are really reasonable to go to those games. Go check it out. I've been to the games. It's really enjoyable to watch OSU women. They're at the actual ice rink, the OSU ice rink right next to St. John, and the OSU men play at the Shot.
There you go. The Shot, Value City Arena.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and especially high school, too, because at the end of the day, this is where these guys come from.
That's where they come from.
They start at high school, they go up to NCAA, and then the AHL, and then eventually maybe the NHL.
Right.
That's just so cool. And, you know, we brought in, I can't remember, who did we bring in down from the Monsters right before the Devils game? Darren, do you know? We brought someone down. He made his NHL debut last night.
I saw that. I don't remember. I'll look it up real quick while you guys are talking.
Yeah. But either way, I noticed that he was doing very well. He was always in the other, the Devil's zone. And that's fantastic for an NHL debut. And I cheer these kids on. That's why, again, I really want
to. James Malatesta.
That's it. James. Mm-hmm. My goodness, was he fantastic last night on the ice.
All right, so any additional comments on the Canes game before we move on to the Lightning game?
So for the Canes, sad. I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean,
that was a 4-1 loss.
It was, and, you know, with Jet in the net, I mean, I don't really want to blame Jet for this because, again, we're still having that offensive issue. But at the same time, as you mentioned before, Pam, the Canes are really, really good.
They've been good for a long time. So, yes.
And right now, they're number three in our division right now, sitting at 20-10 with 41 points.
But you bring him down, or up, I guess it's down to Columbus, but it's up to the NHL. You bring him in for him to experience that.
Yes.
He needs to experience that.
That's
the big leagues, and he needs that time in net.
He does. And I think, you know, when people criticize, why are we bringing him down? Mm-hmm. Again, look at his record with the AHL.
Yes.
Sure, but it's still very different, and he's getting this experience. And the fact that Anaheim Ducks game and the Capitals game, how many shots did he stop?
Right.
My goodness, for a rookie like that, I want a person like that in the net.
Right.
And, of course, with the Tampa Bay Lightning, unless, Darren, do you have any other comments on the Canes?
No, that game made me sad. Mm-hmm. So did the Lightning, but I'm used to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Lightning was a rough game to watch too, but it is what it is, and they're an amazing team, and the Lightning are always going to have it out for us because of what we did to them in 2019.
Now, can I mention that we almost did to the Lightning the same thing we did a couple of weeks ago? Because for those who remember, we were down 0-4 with the Lightning at Nationwide Arena, and then we fought back and won in overtime. Mm-hmm. That almost occurred in the third period, but of course, Lightning
got three, didn't we?
We did. We got three
was the final,
and we pretty much
That fifth goal an empty netter because like we got within 3-4. Right. I think
it was. Yeah, the empty netter is what put the game away, but we almost came back. And I watched that one, and I was like, that is exactly what we did to Lightning 2 weeks ago. Yeah. But then you know, now going into the current, the Devils did exactly that last night. But then again, you know, that's a problem with trying to keep them out of the zone with an empty net goal, secured it. So now Jackets snapping that 5-game losing streak and going into that Devils game. By the way, Devils are number one in our division. Yep. They're sitting at 21-11 with 45 points. The Jackets was last place in the division. So last place team taking on first place team.
It happens.
And with the Jackets beating the Devils last night, Jackets are now just barely above the New York Islanders now. We are tied with points 31-31. Jackets now 13-15 in the overall season and 5. And then you got the Islanders 12-14-7. Islanders not doing so well this season, I've noticed.
Don't they have a new coach this year?
They do.
And they drop Barry Trotz for some new guy. And,
Yeah, they do. And I know Pam's not going to like to hear this, but Penguins have also been kind of improving a little bit, too. They're sitting at 35 points with 15-14-5. Mm-hmm. And then the Canes way above them, like I said before, 20-10-1 with the Capitals 21-8-2, 44 points. And then the Devils now 21-11.
Right, what's the number of, who's the team and what's the number of points in fifth place right now?
In fifth in our division?
Uh-huh.
That is the Philadelphia Flyers 14-15-4 with 32 points. And the Jackets play them 32 tomorrow night.
They have 32 points.
And we have 31. So we're down by one.
So just because you're at the bottom doesn't mean you can't still. This is not quite halfway through the season. Here's my rose-colored glasses, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. There is still hope to go to the playoffs.
There is.
So it's funny you mention that. I'm looking at, I'll give credit to the New York Times. They have a playoff predictor. Like they, I don't know, have some sort of math algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to your point, the Hurricanes are the number one team according to this algorithm, and they say they have a 99% chance to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, guess what percentage chance the New York Times gives the Blue Jackets to make the playoffs?
Who knows?
1%.
I don't know.
You know, you're too pessimistic, my friend. Mm-hmm. It's 4%.
Wow. How generous.
But see, if we have the same number of points as the Flyers, and the Flyers are currently in that spot...
This will make you sad.
It's too early to make that.
They have us ahead of the Flyers. The Flyers also have a 4% chance.
I don't mind so bad. All right. Yeah.
But also keep in mind, we are still tied with the Rangers, too, because the New York Rangers are 15-15-1. So I know you like that.
Yes, I do. Mike, are you listening?
Mike. But if the Rangers lose... and then we beat the Flyers, we're going to be bumping up quite substantially in our division, and that's very good news. And I do want to take a look at the Atlantic Division real quickly while we're at it. Buffalo last place, 11-17-4. Canadians now above, so the Canadians aren't the last place anymore. Good for them, 12-16-3 with 27 points. Red Wings after that, then you got the Senators. Bruins are starting to climb back up there because Bruins, as we remember, they did fire their head coach a couple of weeks ago, and they are starting to improve a little bit, but they are fourth place. 17-13-4 with 38 points, tied with Tampa Bay Lightning, 18-10-2 with 38 points. Then you got the Carolina Panthers again, 20-11-2 with 42 points. And then the Toronto Maple Leafs leading that division, 20-10-2 with 42 points.
All right, last thoughts, Darren.
We need to go on a little bit of a tear here if we're going to make the playoffs before the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and my thoughts is don't make the same mistake against the Flyers we did on December 10th because we play them again tomorrow night at their barn now.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a lot better with the possession in the Devils game. Let's keep it up. and beat the Flyers.
We do have a few home games before Christmas. Just a reminder, there are Santa picks available at 117, and they will have his sleigh and reindeers out front on the plaza for those last couple of games before he has to head to the North Pole to deliver all the toys. We thank you so much for listening to Mid-Ohio Hockey Talk, and if we don't talk to you later, we will talk to you after the first of the year. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and thanks so much for listening. Ugh.